don't give me no money, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
Says the U.S. military, Iran has been training Iraqi insurgents in the assembly of roadside bombs. According to detainees' debriefs, Iran has been manufacturing and smuggling as well as training Iraqi insurgents in the use of a type of roadside bomb which is capable of piercing armored vehicles. In some of the fiercest fighting since the new security plan began, at least 20 extremists were killed in a district in Baghdad known to be a Sunni insurgent stronghold. 4 Iraqi soldiers were killed and 16 U.S. soldiers were wounded. Bombs have been detonated in Algeria, killing at least 17 people and wounding 82. It is believed an Islamist group associated with Al-Qaeda is responsible. It is the first such attack for the North African city since the 1990s, when 200,000 people were killed during the last Islamic insurgency. North Korea says it won't be able to shut down its main nuclear reactor as promised on Saturday, but should be able to do so within 30 days. At the same time, Pyongyang says it would begin admitting UN inspectors. The Defense Department today published its first draft of its new regulations governing payday loans to the military and their families. Annual interest could be no more than 36%. Some critics say the proposal doesn't go far enough. On Capitol Hill, Democrats have subpoenaed Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez for additional documents a week before he's scheduled to testify about the firing of 8 U.S. attorneys. Gonzalez has until Monday to produce the requested material. In Durham, North Carolina, the state attorney general is expected to drop the kidnapping and rape charges against the Duke lacrosse players. The case has been controversial and now has led to the district attorney, Mike Nifong, facing charges of unethical conduct. Possible Republican presidential candidate and former Tennessee Senator Fred Thompson has been diagnosed with a treatable form of lymphoma. The star of NBC's Law & Order said he is still taking steps towards a possible entrance into the presidential race. And President Bush has invited Democrats to the White House to talk about war appropriations. He reiterated his promise to veto any bill that contains a timetable for troop withdrawal. In Sri Lanka, on the eve of the country's New Year's celebrations, government soldiers clashed with Tamil Tigers in the country's north. 10 people were killed and many more were wounded. In Georgia, a state computer disk containing personal and financial information of nearly 3 million medical patients has been lost. The disk disappeared while it was being shipped to Maryland. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in the air. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying their unarmed C-46s and C-47s over the jungles, the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name. Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
NASA has postponed the launch of the space shuttle Atlantis until June. Scientists are continuing repairs on the ship, which was damaged by hail during its last trip to the International Space Station. An Arizona astronomer says evidence of water has been discovered on a planet outside of the solar system. Water vapor has been spotted in the atmosphere of a large gaseous planet 150 light years from Earth. Consumer confidence has plummeted to an 18-month low in April. Analysts cite high fuel prices, the threat of inflation, and concerns about a possible recession. Alcoa posted a 9% increase in quarterly profits on revenues of nearly $8 billion. The aluminum maker cited higher metal costs and increased demand from the aerospace industry. Citigroup says it will eliminate 17,000 jobs this year, 5% of its workforce. The move is part of a cost-cutting regime at the nation's largest financial institution. The job cuts could save Citigroup more than $2 billion this year. Levi Strauss reported its best first quarter profit in a decade on revenues exceeding $1 billion. It was the 6th quarter in a row the jeans company posted profits greater than the year before. And WD-40 posted a robust profit helped by increased sales overseas, particularly in China. The company is expanding to include household cleaning goods. Light sweet crude is trading at $62.08 a barrel right now. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 85 points. The NASDAQ is down 17. And the S&P 500 is down 7. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
Good day, everyone. Welcome to the show. Nice to be here. Just threw a few shrimps on the barbie. And we're going to have some nice steak, and we're going to sit here and enjoy all the wonderfulness that is Australia. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? No, my name is not John Fox. I do a very bad Australian accent. But my name is Joe Vecchio. I am normally host of the Cup of Joe radio show, which is on before John. John is having some little medical issues going on, so I agreed to fill in for him for today. And I hope he's feeling well. He's got a bit of the lumbago. So he's got some painkillers and he's there and he's just relaxing now and dozing away, which is where he should be. So I'm taking over and I'm going to try not to do this bloody accent the whole night or the whole show. How is everybody doing this morning? Oh, I just got through with my own show. If you're tuning in now and you're expecting to hear John Fox, I'm sorry, this is what you get. You're stuck with me for the hour. You know what I'm saying? You're stuck with me. How is everybody today? I am here in Chicago, the Windy City with many names, all that stuff, and it's snowing out. And it was like 50 something degrees the other day, and I'm like, it's snow, and I got the window, and it's like there's snow again. What that means is I got to shovel the damn sidewalk again. It's only about an inch or so, but it's like I thought we were through with this for the year. For the season. Bloody hell. Wow, 2 hours. It's been a while since I did two hours on radio. They switched me over. For those of you who pay attention to the Head On Radio Network, who have been listening to us regularly, listen to all the hosts and whatnot, whoever they are, you know, that I used to do a two-hour show. And then, you know, the schedule changed, as it does in radio, whether you're talking about internet radio or, you know, broadcast radio. And I was on Monday and Friday. I was what I would call the bread in a Dr. Bill O'Brien sandwich, because Dr. Bill O'Brien had the slot Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I would be on Monday and Friday, 2 hours show. And then they said, well, we're changing, we're having you come on in the morning. So now I have to get up bloody early in the morning for me. I have to get up at 8 o'clock, my time, in order to do the show at 9 o'clock. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it suffers a little bit because I start the show and I'm still kind of like, am I here? Am I in this world? I'm not really sure where I'm at right now because my brain's full of cotton. And then it usually takes me until later on to get a little settled in. And I've got more energy right now. So, but John Fox is normally in the slot, like I said, and he's not feeling well. So I am filling in for him for this hour, and I hope to do a good job. And I hope if you've never listened to me before, if you've never heard my show before, I hope you hang around and listen to me for today. And then tune in an hour earlier to the Head On Network. Because, you know, we have a wonderful lineup of shows throughout the entire day. We have one of the best lineups of liberal progressive talk radio that you're going to find on the internets. That you are going to find on the internets. And I am very, very proud to be a part of that. The Head On Radio Network does wonderful, wonderful work. And I'm really proud to be part. As is John Fox. As is John Fox. And as all of us are. You know, Jeff Allen Wolf, Bill O'Brien, Mark Levine, Guy James, and of course Bob Kincaid, who is producing the show today. Agnes is taking some well-deserved rest as well. Everybody's resting. I got to go to work. And this, of course, is my problem. I got to go to work. Everybody else gets to take it off. Do I? No, no. When they need somebody to do something, no, there's old Joe. I'm kidding. I can just see Bob pulling his hair out now. No, what is he saying this for? I'm nice to him. I do all sorts of nice things. I'm just kidding. I was talking on my show earlier today about a lot of different things, as I mentioned. And you know, this is something else I want to talk about, too, because it's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart. I saw the movie 300, and I didn't go see it in a movie theater. I had absolutely no intention of seeing it in a movie theater. I don't know how they get it so quickly, but some guy at work had a bootleg copy of the movie, so he gave me a copy, and I watched it last night. It was good for a few laughs, in my opinion. But the whole thing about the way technology allows you to do this sort of thing, to make copies of movies. And I'm not going to lie to you. I do my share of stuff of bootlegging in my own way. I don't sell stuff, but I will, for example, borrow a DVD from the library and just make a copy of it. I don't know if that's illegal or not, but you know what? In this day and age, when I'm in a situation where I'm not making a whole lot of money and I can't afford to buy these things, if I can get it in a certain way like that, I'll get it. I got to pass this DVD on to my roommate who wants to see 300. But, you know, and quite frankly, I was not that impressed with the film. I think it's just very typical of the way Hollywood makes action adventure movies these days. Just a lot of slow music and slow motion fighting, and a few heads get cut off and a few arms get cut off. Really more glitz than substance. And actually, when I went to the library, I took out two movies, and I went to the main branch Chicago library, which is close to where I work, and I took out The Sting. And I took out Sleeper, Woody Allen's, one of the classic Woody Allen movies from the 70s, where Woody Allen goes into the future. And very funny movies. The types of movies you really can't make today. You know, and I really enjoy the movies from a lot of the big drama movies from the late 70s, because the early mid 70s, because you had movies like Dog Day Afternoon and The Godfather. And Godfather Part Two later on, both of which won Academy Awards. The first time that's ever happened where a sequel wins the Academy Award. And nowadays you see movies like that where it's all, you know, glitz and stuff like that. And there's not as much attention paid to, you know, the storyline, at least in these type of movies anyway. I mean, even in the 80s when they did Raiders of the Lost Ark, there was attention paid to that. Listen, let's... Let's take a little break here. Let's go into our first break. The number, if you want to call in, is area code 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. If you don't have long distance, and everybody should have long distance by now, free long distance anyway. The number is 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of Fox Stuff with John Fox, and I'm your special guest host, Joe Vecchio, today. We'll be back.
Strolling by with a rosebud smile. They're all dressed up to kill. Lean on the windowsill. Looking your way with eyes of fire. Don't you slip. Don't you slip in love with the girl.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sundin without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robert Sundin. After time, after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breeds that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, they did.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Thank you.
Have you ever been rewarded for doing the right thing, returning a lost wallet, putting your neighbor's cows back in the pasture?
Hey, I appreciate
Maybe
that.
Now is your chance. The new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers for taking care of the land, keeping water clean and soil healthy. To see if you qualify for a Conservation Security Program payment, take the self-assessment. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office or USDA Service Center.
I can't thank you enough.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Another thing I've been wondering lately. Okay, we're back here on the Head On Radio Network. And I am Joe Vecchio filling in for John Fox. Normally I host the Cup of Joe radio show, but John is feeling under the weather, so I'm filling in. How is everybody doing today? The number to call in, and I should let you know that the audio connection here is a little bit tenuous, so if you want to call in, it could be an interesting conversation as the audio keeps cutting in and out of me. But if you want to call in, the number here is 304-658-5453. The toll-free number is 1-877-443-2366. 2366. I should let you know that if you want to have a real long conversation, I advise you to call the 304 number, because you know, it just makes a little. And you know something? A lot of people have free long distance now. I have free long distance service, and you know what? Well, anybody who charges you long distance, and it's just a scam, because it used to be they would charge you long distance because, you know, you had to make all the connections and stuff like that. In fact, I remember the days. I'm old enough. I'm an old guy, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, all the ships at sea. I'm an old guy, and I remember the days when you didn't have a flat fee for the phone. You paid by how much you used, even if you made local calls. And back in my days in New York City, when I was growing up in New York, our phone number, I still remember our phone number, EM64039, Empire 6, as they used to say. I don't know who has that number now, but I hope nobody calls them up. But they used to use the call digits like that, you know, Empire 6. It wasn't EM6, it was Empire 6. And but if you used the phone, you made a phone call, and you got charged by how long you talked, local or not. And of course, you didn't have different area codes, so you just dialed 7 digits. You didn't dial 10 digits. But nowadays, since everything is done by satellite, it doesn't cost any more to do a long distance call than it does for you to do a local call. You know, so it's all, you know, and so many things are a scam these days. And it's, you know, I talk about this on my show, and I know John talks about the environment, and that's important because, you know, something, we're getting that here. And people say, well, you know, it's cold out. You can't have global warming because it's cold, which is stupid, because the drastic weather changes are part of what global warming does. That's why you have 70 degrees here in Chicago, and in a week or so later, you have snow on the ground. That's part of it. And you try to explain that to people, but they don't want to listen. You know, it's just kind of like explaining to a guy, you know, that the Earth is round. If they live in Montana and they never saw a picture of the globe or didn't know, if you didn't know any better, if you lived in one of those flat areas, say, how could you say the Earth is round? It's flat. See? Looks flat to me. And it's just so painful trying to explain otherwise to people who just don't know any better. But anyway, but global warming is, and I do want to talk about this because that's what John mostly talks about, and I want to give my take on it because, you know, quite frankly, it does have an effect on people's jobs. It does have an effect on how people work and what people do for a living. And the truth of the matter is that if the business people were smart about it, and if we had a government that was smart, that was run by people who understood, and any government, really, when you're talking about technological advances, you really have to think 10 years ahead. You know, I talk about this from a local city point of view. Good city planners have to think about what the city is going to be like in 10 years and work towards that. And they have to do that all the time. And the federal government and international governments need to do that too. And somebody should have foreseen this coming and said, we need to start making adjustments now. But those that did see this coming and wanted to make adjustments were fought at every single turn, as they're still being fought, by the oil companies, by the people who have a vested interest in maintaining the status quo. And the truth of the matter is, I would be perfectly happy to let them lead the way in the new technology and let them continue to make money so that we can have an economy that's not run on something like cheap oil, which eventually winds up causing us to go into war in Iraq, because that's all part of the whole thing. Oil may not be the only reason they went in there. I don't really know all the real reasons they went into Iraq, but oil was a big part of it. And on BartCop.com, they talk about this daily almost. Bart mentions the fact that the meters that they use to keep track of how much oil gets pumped out of Iraq in the southern part where the oil comes out have been broken for years since we invaded, pretty much. And they're still pumping the oil, and nobody's keeping track of it, and they're essentially stealing it is what they're doing. Anybody ever see the movie Goodfellas? There's a sequence in the movie Goodfellas where they just steal a truck full of, I think it was cigarettes or whatever, just some stuff. And they go to the truck driver, and you know, they pull the guy over, and they take a look at his ID card, and Robert De Niro is there saying, you know, you don't know who we are, but we know who you are. You know, and they give the guy $50, $100 or whatever, and they just basically take the truck. And most of the time the guy's like, hey, I'm, you know, Have it, you know, take it. I'm not paid enough to risk my life for you. And they would just steal stuff. That's how they made money. They would just steal stuff. And they talked about it, and they bragged about it. And that's what the Bush administration does. That's what the big corporations do. They just steal stuff. Whether they're stealing money from you, the American worker, or from poor Iraqi people while they're not killing them. And that's basically what they do. And the fact that the environment is being affected by what they do doesn't really matter to them, because they got the money and they don't care. They don't care. They're very short-sighted. As I've said before about the difference between conservatives and liberals, is that to a conservative, the world ends when they die. The world ends when they die. They're not concerned with the future. They're only concerned with what they can get in the here and now. And they talk about going to old values. What was good enough for grandma is good enough for me, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, 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 blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is they feel like they can do anything they want because, you know, after they die, it doesn't matter. That's paraphrasing kind of what George Bush said about when someone asked him about his legacy, about history, and he said, history, we'll all be dead. You know, what do we care? And, you know, that basically sums up their attitude. We're going to steal everything we can until we die. And then, you know, everybody else after we're gone, you know, it's on you. Whereas a liberal will try to create a society that lasts above and beyond that individual's lifestyle, for lifetime. For example, when they developed Social Security, a lot of the people who put together Social Security, and even a lot of the people who were starting to see Social Security, you know, it was a program that was gonna outlast them. You know, there were people who said, we're not going to live long enough to see any money from it. But they put it together because they weren't thinking in terms of what can I get for me right now. And if you had a smart government, and I don't talk about big government and small government, I talk about smart government. A smart government can take the environmental issue and say, listen, this is some serious stuff. We need to deal with this, but we need to deal with it in a way that it doesn't completely and totally disrupt the way our economy is. And I think most people, if you really give them the opportunity to say, well, you know, we really do need to start changing the way we do things, and you explain it to them, and you're honest about it, then people will react to that and respond to that. Some people never will. I mean, there's always going to be some, I like to have my car, and I won't drive wherever I want, and I want gas to be 29 cents a gallon forever. Ah! Morons. There's always going to be people like that. But the thing about it is you make sure those people stay in the minority where they belong. And not just in the minority, but in a position where they can't do anybody any harm. And that's the big deal. But my point is that if we had really started to work on this 20 or 30 years ago, and instead of just having the corporate interests of especially in big oil pollute the government and corrupt the government, we might have had a better solution to this problem. We wouldn't be having so much trouble with global warming. I mean, you know, when your population goes from 1 billion, as it reached the first billion in like the late 1800s, when it goes to like 6 billion in about 100 years, that's going to have an effect on the environment, even regardless of the technology. But industrial technology, of course, is making an even bigger impact on the environment. And anybody who doesn't see that is an idiot. Maybe there's a question of how much or how little, and obviously I think it's quite a bit. At any rate, if you had a smart government, they could have figured it out. But unfortunately, we don't have a smart government. Unfortunately, we don't have a smart citizenry right now, I think. I think a lot of them have been too easily misled by stuff. But that's another story. Listen, let's take a little break here. We're halfway through the show. If you want to call in and talk to me about this, the number is area code 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. If you want to call in on the toll-free line, and please use the 304 number if you can. It's 1-877-443-2366. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. We're halfway through. We'll be back with more on, well, I was going to say the Cup of Joe radio show on Fox Stuff with John Fox.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Spirits are good. The morale is high. The solidarity is good. The members are fully supporting the strike, and we're confident we're going to have a successful outcome.
The United Steelworkers' Gerald Dickey describing an unfair labor practices strike by 900 workers at Rexham Beverage Can. Dickey says Rexham, maker of cans for Coca-Cola and Anheuser-Busch, is violating labor law.
The company has made repeated violations of labor law. I can't identify specific cases at this point because we are still gathering information and evidence, and we don't want to make the nature of the charges public until the charges have been filed, and we expect that to happen hopefully this week.
The Rexham labor contract with USW expired in February. The company is trying to force workers to pay more for health care benefits.
Rexham is a very profitable company, and they just expect our members, their employees, to shoulder far too much of the burden of health care costs for active employees and future retirees. The members have made it clear to us, loud and clear, that this is unacceptable.
The Los Angeles labor movement is pledging solid support for United Food and Commercial Workers members ready to strike major grocery chains in Southern California. The chains, Safeway, Kroger, and Albertsons, have a pact with each other to lock out UFCW workers at all three chains if workers at one chain decide to strike. The Los Angeles County Federation of Labor, the American Federation of Teachers, the Teamsters, and the Screen Actors Guild in Los Angeles all say that they'll support a UFCW strike. University of Southern California students held a sit-in on Tuesday to demand the university support the Anti-Sweatshop Designated Suppliers Program. The program screens factories to prevent sweatshops from making university logo clothing. 15 students at the University of Michigan were recently arrested during a similar sit-in at the university president's office there. The Coalition of Immokalee Workers have an agreement with McDonald's restaurants and their suppliers that improves conditions for workers in the fields. Workers will get a penny more per pound of harvested tomatoes, a stronger labor code of conduct for suppliers, and a collaborative effort to monitor conditions for workers in the fields. The campaign for fair food continues as the Coalition of Immokalee Workers takes its 2007 McDonald's Truth Tour to Chicago on April 13th and 14th. It's an ongoing effort to achieve farm worker justice. Here's today's economic report. Unions have made workers better off economically while raising working standards for non-union workers as well. According to the Economic Policy Institute, union workers make 14.7% higher wages, are more likely to have pensions and employer-provided health insurance, and get more paid time off. Unions won the 8-hour day and helped America abolish child labor, establish workers' compensation, and protect workers' health and safety. Unions also played a strong role in creating Social Security and unemployment insurance for all U.S. workers. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? Do you want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway Insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Whoa! They say the bigger the headache, the bigger the pill, baby. So call me the big pill.
Dr. Okay.
The disco fiend with the monster sound. The cool goo with the bum tramp.
Okay, we're back. Well, I love that music. I don't get a chance to listen. You know, people talk to me and ask me sometimes if I listen to much talk radio or what shows that I like. And whenever people ask me that, I remember the time on... I don't know if it was Dick Cavett or Mike Douglas or Merv Griffin. John Lennon was on the show, and somebody asked him from the audience what type of music he liked to listen to. And John said, basically, you know, I really don't get a chance to listen to very much new music because I'm so busy producing my own. He did go on to say, of course, that he liked the old-style rock and roll music that he grew up with. But people often ask me, and I think about that when people ask me, what radio shows do I listen to? You know, do I listen to John Fox or do I listen to Mark Levine on the Inside Scoop? Do I listen to Guy James? Do I listen to Jeff Allen Wolf? And my answer is, unfortunately, no. I generally do not like to listen to talk radio, which is really weird coming from a radio talk show host and a guy who does like radio in general, but there's reasons I don't listen. Number one, I've got a lot of issues in my life to deal with right now, and I really don't have the time to just sit there and just play the radio while I do stuff. Plus, if I'm listening to the radio, I'm going to want to concentrate on the radio. And I can't, you know, unlike some people, I can't sit there. I'm not a good multitasking person, you know, especially when it comes to music radio. I get in a lot of trouble on my job because I don't like to listen to music when I work. And there's a lot of people who like to listen to their music when they work. I used to drive my poor wife crazy because she liked to listen to music all the time and I don't. But I really don't listen to a lot of talk radio. The other reason I don't listen to a lot of talk radio is that it gets me so pissed off half the time that, you know, I'd wind up never being in a good mood about anything. And, you know, so that's basically it. But, you know, we do have such a great lineup here on the Head On Network. And I'm very, very proud to be a part of that as part of the Cup of Joe radio show. And I'm happy to fill in for John Fox, you know, when he's not feeling good, too. Because, you know, John Fox is a great guy. And I think what's great about the Internet, or the Internets, as I love to say, is the fact that you can have a show that has its origin in Australia, and you can have a show that has its origin here in Chicago. And I think Guy James is in Ohio. I'm not sure where Guy James is at. Jeff Allen Wolf, I think, is out in California, where the locations are. But everybody's all over the place. And we have the central location is out in West Virginia. And, you know, it's really good that we can do this and do this economically. I mean, you know, Bart Kopp has his radio show, and I think he would be great for the Head On Network, but, you know, Bart Kopp sells his via subscription, and that's fine. I'm not going to get on his case for doing that because, you know, that's what he does, and that's fine. But I remember when Bart Kopp was starting and he was talking about all the money he was putting into his quote-unquote studio, all the tiling and all the expensive computer equipment, and I'm just kind of shaking my head because, you know, I do this with about maybe $300 worth of equipment, not counting the computer. And the computers are fairly cheap nowadays anyway. But if you have a computer, you've got an Internet connection, and you've got, you know, you get yourself a little mixer and a couple of microphones, guess what? You can do a radio gig. It doesn't really cost that much. And when, you know, the streaming audio isn't, you know, it's not like you have to have tremendously high quality audio if you're talking about talk radio. If you have a music station, it would be a little different. But, you know, you can do it for a lot less. And I was a little disappointed that, and I think Bart was kind of getting, you know, told different things by the person who was his tech person. And if you're not a tech savvy person, that's the chance you take. But I want to thank Al Gore for this opportunity because, you know, and Al Gore did not invent the Internet from a technical point of view, okay? He didn't, you know, put together the hardware and stuff like that, but he made the technology available. And that's what was important. And even the people who did create the internet from a physical point of view recognized this and honored Al Gore for it. And, you know, and I really hope that Al Gore eventually runs for president again. I think he'd be a great president, and I'm just kind of sort of waiting for him. You know, I mean, I watched Barack Obama was on David Letterman the other night, and I watched him, and I listened to him, and I like him a lot. And quite frankly, I think of all the candidates that have declared up until this point, I think he is my personal favorite. Maybe I'm a little biased because he's from Illinois, and, you know, I live in Illinois now, so maybe, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that. But also, I just think, you know, even though he's only been a senator for a few years, I think he'll be a very good president. I also happen to think Hillary Clinton would make a very good president. I think any of the Democratic candidates out there would make a very good president, to be perfectly honest. I think our Democratic candidates have it all over the Republican candidates. Who the hell do the Republicans have? Oh, my God, who do they have? Rudy Giuliani? John McCain? Oven Mitt Romney? Who the hell are these people? I mean, I know John McCain is. John McCain is completely out of his freaking mind. That's who John McCain is. You can walk anywhere in Baghdad. It's perfectly safe. You know, they got all over Howard Dean for that Dean Scream thing. And, you know, that was so blown out of proportion because, you know, the reality was that he had a microphone that blocked out the noise of the crowd. If you listen to it without that, you could barely hear what the guy's saying. The screaming was so loud. And as usual, the corporate media, the so-called professional media, they just simply lied about it. As they always do. And, but here's McCain, you know, and that's, McCain's blunder is an even huger blunder. It's like a Baghdad Bob type of deal. When the Americans were invading, oh, Americans aren't here. No, meanwhile, you're seeing tanks rolling past them in the background. It's the same type of deal. Rudy Giuliani? Ask a New Yorker about Rudy Giuliani, anybody who followed his career there. And you wonder if the hardcore right wing is going to go for Rudy anyway. Because, you know, first of all, Rudy's from New York City. New York City! And he's kind of, you know, he's iffy on the abortion thing because, you know, you got to be totally anti-choice. I don't like to say pro-life because these are not pro-life people. They're totally anti-choice. And Rudy has had a lot of little marriage problems of his own. What was it? While he was getting divorced, he had his mistress move into the Gracie Mansion with him. And if they're going to say, I forget, someone who said this recently, he said, if they're going to go after, if they're going to say that those personal issues don't make a difference in a presidential campaign for Rudy Giuliani, then there's a lot of conservatives who owe Bill Clinton a huge apology. But we have the Democratic candidates we have it all over the Republican candidates. And I'm still waiting for Al Gore to throw his hat into the ring. If that happens, the minute he happens, he's the guy I'm going to support. Because I really think he's the guy that ought to be running the country. He's the guy that we did elect in 2000, after all. And if he had been in office, I don't think... First of all, I think if Al Gore had been in office, I don't think 9/11 would have happened. I think he would have taken the report seriously and that they would have been more serious about... Because you know something? Look, it's okay to be partisan. I don't have a problem with politicians being partisan. I don't have a problem with politicians being ambitious. I will even tolerate a certain amount of corruption. But when the stuff hits the fan... When it's important stuff, you got to be able to do your job. And the Republicans do not do that. Let's take a little break. It's our final break here before the show's up. Man, another hour goes by quickly. I mean, I'm doing John's show today, and it doesn't even feel like it's been an hour and 45 minutes. But let's take a little break. It's your last chance to call in and get a shot at it. 304-658-5453. 304-658-5453. Give us a call. We'll be back with more here on the Head On Radio Network.
You run the paradise.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady?
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Okay, and we're back here on Fox Stuff with John Fox. I'm Joe Vecchio filling in for John, who is under the weather with the lumbago. I love saying that. That sounds like a dance, you know. We're going to lumbago today. Lumbago, lumbago. I was, during the break, I was goofing off in the Head On Radio chat room. And by the way, you can get into that by going to the headonradionetwork.com. Headonradionetwork.com. And scrolling down a little bit to the right, you have you have a little link for the chat room, and you can go in there and talk to some of the smartest peoples on the internet. Smartest peoples on the internet. I speak plurals. At any rate, there's a nice lady in there whose nickname is Trouble 97018. I have no idea what 97018 means. Maybe it's a zip code. I don't know. But whenever I see the name, I keep thinking about a very old joke. And yes, it is a very old joke, Trouble. It's much older than I am. We used to say it when I was a kid. There were two kids. One's named Shut Up, and the other one's named Trouble. And they were playing hide and seek. And Trouble was hiding, and Shut Up was looking for him. And he couldn't find Trouble. He couldn't find him, so, you know, eventually he went to a cop. And the cop said, "What's your name, kid?" And the kid says, "Shut Up." I said, "What's your name, kid?" Kid says, "Shut Up." "Are you looking for Trouble?" "Yeah." I love stupid old jokes like that. And I drive people crazy with it. Well, you know, I miss my wife. She passed away about a year and a half ago. And one of the great things about one of the things I really, really loved about her is the fact that she had a slight memory issue, so that, you know, I could tell her something, and, you know, a couple of weeks later I could tell her the same thing again and she'll have forgotten it. So I could tell her the same stupid jokes over and over again, and she would laugh at it as if it was the first time she ever heard it. So that's actually very good, because I do tend to repeat myself. As my roommate currently tells me all the time, "Joe, you told me this 5 times," or he said, well, hell, I don't remember saying it. Oh, geez, we got about 10 minutes or so left. Man, it goes by fast. Not even that. And I'm filling in for John today, like I said, in my normal show. If you've never listened to me before, my show is on the hour before John's. And if you live out in the West Coast, that's kind of early to get up, because my show starts at 7 o'clock on the West Coast. And it starts at, I'm here in Chicago, so it starts at 9 Central Time here, and at 10 o'clock in New York. And really, by 10 o'clock, you really, except for me, you should really be up. Although, you know, I'm a night person. I always have been, and I always will be. So anytime before noon is too early. And I'm fortunate that I have a job that's generally 3 to 11 at night. So, but anyway, and you know, my work has been real spotty lately, so that means I haven't made as much money as I'd like to lately, and that's really caused some kind of pressure. But, you know, something, I'm no different than a lot of other people these days, where a lot of us are just living on the edge. And that's what basically life is for the working class person these days, is life on the edge, because a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, month to month, and in the meantime, you hear these stories about CEOs who screw their companies up royally and yet get $20 million bonuses, $200 million retirement packages, or severance packages if they actually do get fired, on those rare occasions where they do lose their positions. You know, and even after they announce that they get fired, they still hang around for a few months or so. "Oh, we're going to fire after 6 months." You get 6 months at that high salary. And, you know, John Fox normally talks about the environment, and this has an indirect impact on the environment, because you have people who really don't give a damn about what goes on, you know, above and beyond what their lifetime is. So if they screw up the environment, what do they care? You know, throw pollution in the water, what do they care? Let the kids deal with it. I have an expression, and Americans are notoriously lazy about dealing with stuff like that, because we like to assume, because we're basically decent, honest people for the most part, but we like to assume that our politicians and our leaders, when it comes to the really important stuff, are not going to lie to us and are going to, you know, be open and above board about things. And of course, that's very rarely true. You have to pay attention constantly. But we tend to take these things for granted. And because of that, we tend to be taken advantage of and not react to something until things have gotten way out of hand. And my favorite expression for that is waiting for the river to catch fire. And that's basically it goes back to the Cuyahoga River, which is one of the rivers that goes through Cleveland. Actually, I think the river that goes through Cleveland. I'm thinking of another city. And they were pouring pollution into this river, because if you know anything about Cleveland, Cleveland is a huge manufacturing, working class type city, industrial city. And they were dumping this filth into the river year in and year out. And I'm sure that while all this was going on, people were, you know, maybe calling on talk radio or talking about it in the news, and they were just discussing it. What should we do? Should we do anything? Oh, it's not as bad as you think, blah, 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 and it goes on and on, back and forth, and then the river caught fire. Literally. Because there was so much crap in it. And the federal government had to step in and clean it up. And I wrote that column many years ago. God, it must have been about 2003. A long time ago I wrote that column. And then I wrote a follow-up a year later called Roasting Weenies on the Pier. Because, you know, you would think after the Iraq War, after all this stuff, that the river finally would have caught fire for the bulk of the American people. But it's taken a lot longer than I thought for them to wake up to the reality of what's going on. And in the meantime, some people aren't even really concerned that the river's catching fire. They're sitting there on the pier roasting weenies. They don't really care. You know, the world is crumbling around them. Oh, hey, you know, the hospital burned down. Get the hot dogs, Bob. But the Americans are notorious for that. They do tend to wait until the last minute. And I really hope that, assuming we survive all of this, because, you know, the effects on the environment are serious stuff. And John will talk about it much more and much more eloquently than I can. But the effects on the environment are incredibly serious stuff that could eventually doom the entire human race. I'm not going to say it's going to doom all life on Earth, because I think the planet Earth has a way of, you know, coming back from this sort of stuff. But it could eventually doom the entire human race. You don't come back from that. You know, and maybe the people don't care. Say, well, you know, we were at the end of the human race and we had one last big ball before we died. And you didn't have to have such a big ball at all. And I realize that has many connotations to it, but what the hell. But these are consequences that we all are going to have to live with. And I really, really wish that I could see in my lifetime that things were going to get better. And I think things are going to get better, but we have so much work to do, and I have so little confidence in the current Democratic leadership to get these things taken care of. And that's why I'm hoping that Al Gore puts his hat into the ring. I think he's at least a man with the knowledge and with the experience to at least push things in the right direction. He's already done a great deal, as it is. And I hope he decides to run for president, because I think he could accomplish more as president. I really do. Anyway, I'm just wasting a minute or so here before I have to wrap up. Actually, let's go ahead and start to wrap up. The John Fox, the Foxed Up with John Fox has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Agnes Kincaid took over for Bob about halfway through, so Bob and Agnes were producing today. I don't know who the sponsors of Foxed Up are. I'll have to break a pass on that. But who's next, by the way? Jeff Allen Wolf is next. Is that correct? Jeff Allen Wolf is next on all of your Head-On Radio Network stations. And I will be back tomorrow morning with my show, and hopefully John Fox will be back too, and I hope he's feeling better. And until tomorrow morning, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you and get back to work.
And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics,
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dogfish.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Attention. This is not a repeat show. This is a brand new live show. Attention, once again, this is brand new and live and not a repeat. Russian general says U.S. continues preparations for Iran strike. Iraqi demonstrators demand U.S. leave. Split court rules against Bush on greenhouse gases. Giuliani says ties to Kerik may hurt him with voters. Time Profile asserted that 9/11 gave Giuliani automatic standing on terrorism. Thousands suspected of Katrina fraud. Senate Democrats say they won't halt funding for troops. But to counter a Bush veto, Feingold introduces bill to effectively end military involvement in Iraq. Bill ties climate to national security, seeks assessments by CIA and Pentagon. Clinton and Obama just say no to Fox, presidential debate thrown into jeopardy. U.S. says North Korea running out of time. Governor challenges Bush on guard deployment. British researchers grow heart tissue from stem cells. White House says Bush would veto funding for stem cell research. U.S. offered to scare Iran. Waxman tells Condoleezza Rice, you still need to testify on Iraq-Niger intelligence. Clinton and McCain lose front-runner label. Gas producer dismiss cartel talk. Iran begins dramatic nuclear expansion. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show.